Okay, we need to think about that verse, the verse that we learnt, and think, what does it actually mean? It's all very well learning it, but what does it actually mean? How do we live it out? Because we don't just look at the Bible just to find out facts. We find out how to live. So, you guys are going to need Bibles. And I've realised you don't have them down at the front. So, are we able, David, to grab a few? And bring them down to the front. And grown-ups and other children who are sitting out there, if you want to turn in your Bibles back to Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Katie, for reading that for us. So it's page 1184. Great. Okay, page 1184. Well done. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, David. Great. 1184 you need. Okay, getting that? Good. So you need Colossians chapter 3. That's it. So you need to go and page that. That's it. Well done. So, James, let me just find it for you. Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Jim. I'm almost there. Great. Okay. So now that you've got there, we need to work out, what does this verse mean? What does it mean in the context of the letter? Now, just to remind ourselves what the verse is, while staying sitting with your Bible in front of you, let's see if we can remember the verse. So you've got guns in holsters, even though you're sitting down. You'd never do a gunfight sitting down. I've never done one sitting down. But you do this one sitting down. So guns in holsters. Ready? And everyone joining in. Whatever you do, whether in word, yak, or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Thank you very much. Well done. There it is. And that fits, I just want you to see, that verse fits with our memory, our statement of what we are about as a church. We've said, Emmanuel Church, our aim is for people to come to Jesus, grow in him, and go out to serve him. In other words, being a Christian is not just about what you do on a Sunday morning, it's about the whole of your life. Whatever you do, lived for Jesus. Now you might think, well, what difference does it make? What difference should it make to family, to friends, to all sorts of things? Paul, in the letter, in the surrounding verses, which is why Katie read the surrounding verses, touches on at least five areas of life. And says, in these five areas, this is how to live it out. And he sort of just scatterguns them. He sort of just says, there's this, there's this, there's this, there's this. And we're going to do exactly the same. So we're going to touch on those five areas that Paul talks about, and we're going to think very, very briefly about all five of them. So you ready? Five areas of life. First one is church. Okay, what does he say about church? Well, Paul says, in order to live for Christ at church, there are two things at least. There are more than that. But at church, there's love and there's the Bible. Love. You see, love in, well, actually a little bit before the bit that was just read. So it says, verse 12, have a look at it. Grown-ups, have a look. Boys and girls, have a look. Chapter 3, verse 12, it starts, therefore. And it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul is saying, how are you to be as a church? If you're going to live for Jesus, how are you going to be? You're going to have to love one another. Now, I think Paul put that there because the temptation is not to love one another. And he said one of the key things for loving one another is forgiving one another. So, beginning of a new year, good time to be thinking, is there anyone you need to forgive? Have there been things from last year that maybe have happened between people at church where you go, you know what, I've got to forgive that. I've got to let that go. And we've got to do it. As a church, we don't have an option. Paul commands it. We've got to do it. We've got to forgive. It's a wonderful thing to do. So part of loving one another is forgiving. And in the verses that Katie read, it said, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So how as a church are we going to live for Christ? We're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We're going to read, study, learn the Bible because it's the best book there has ever been. And that's why the sermons are at the centre of what we do on a Sunday morning, the centre of our services, because the word of God needs to dwell in our hearts. And we need to encourage one another in home groups and in relationships to let the word of Christ dwell in us. So that's the first area, church. And therefore, we're going to pray for each area as we do it. So let's pray for us as a church family. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church family. Please help us to love one another, to forgive one another, to look for ways to love and support one another. And please would you help us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That we would love reading your word, studying it, understanding it, helping one another to live it out. Amen. Okay, we're going to do the verse again. Ready? Ready? Guns in holsters? A little bit of enthusiasm. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Very good. Next area of life that Paul touches on, marriage. Now, any of you married down at the front? Any married? Yeah? No. Okay, none of you are married. Therefore, this doesn't apply to you yet. But therefore, it's good still to see what Paul says. There are plenty of people here who are married. And therefore, what does Paul say? How are you going to live out living for Christ, doing whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus in your marriage? Well, he mentions two things. Do you see them? Verse 18 and 19. He says, submission and love. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So there's a command for wives. And he just throws it out there. Now, we need to say, yeah, submission, it's in the Bible. We want to live it out. Wives do need to submit to their husbands. Now, that doesn't mean wives are just to be sort of mousy or doormats or just downtrodden. That is not what Paul is commanding. He's saying a voluntary submission to husbands. And he's saying it's a good thing, it's a beautiful thing, and it's a glorious thing. Wives need to do it. There needs to be a general attitude of submission to husbands. As is fitting in the Lord. So it's not submitting to things where if your husband is saying, do this, and it's not biblical. It's not something that God commands. But it is saying that should be the general attitude of wives. But do you get what husbands have got to do? Husbands, have you seen this? Husbands, love your wives. And we know in Ephesians, as Paul expands on that, he is saying the kind of love it's got to be is the same kind of love that Christ had for the church. It's got to be a self-sacrificial love where you say, for your wife, I will sacrifice for you, I will love you, I will do whatever I need to do, I will sacrifice for you. That's got to be the general attitude of husbands. And that is a beautiful thing where that is working, where both are doing that. So, wives, submit to husbands. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. So, are you going to do that this coming year? Maybe there are things that you need to deal with, husbands, wives. Maybe there are conversations that need to be had. Beginning of a new year, great time to do it. How do we live for Christ in our marriages? This is the way. Let's pray. Let's pray for our marriages in the church family. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for marriage. Thank you, it is a gift from you. Please would you help us to live for you in our marriages. Father, please would you help wives to submit to husbands and husbands to love wives. And please would you help us to live this out for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, we've done two. We've got three to go. Got the verse. We'll come back to it in a minute. I sense that we're getting it. Families. Guys, part of a family? Yeah. Mums and dads. Okay, how do you treat mums and dads? Okay, here we go. You're going to have to look it up. Chapter 3, verse 20. Children, what are you going to do? Adults, do have a look as well to see what children should be doing. Okay, children, what have you got to be doing? Have you got it? Others, let's make sure that others have got it as well. Okay, can you see? Yeah, you got it? Children, what have you got to do? Yeah, did you spot it? Go on then. No, Thomas, no. Go for it, Sam.
You have to obey your parents.
Obey your parents, thank you. In some things. In some things? In everything. Okay, so children, how do you live for Christ at home? You've got to obey your parents. You've got to do what your parents tell you to do. Now, and it says, for this pleases the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Do what your parents say. Do it straight away. Now, obviously, again, if it's something which is against what the Bible says, if they're telling you to go out and set up a gambling hall or something like that, don't do it. Okay, but it's unlikely that your parents are going to command you to do that kind of thing. But you've got to obey your parents. Now, parents, actually, this is particularly addressed to fathers. What have you got to do? Next verse. Verse 21. Parents, what have we got to do? Particularly dads. What have we got to do? Okay, let's look for someone to call it out. Embitter your children. Or don't do that. Yeah, thank you, Ken. Do not embitter your children. In other words, don't get them going mad. And now, how are we likely to do that? And it's interesting, it's particularly fathers. Okay, dads, feeling a bit convicted there, maybe? Okay, how are we likely to do that? We're likely to do it by picking on everything, aren't we? And when we're tired and when we're feeling impatient, we're likely to do that we pick on everything that goes wrong and everything that they do wrong, and therefore they go, I can't get anything right. Well, we've got to make sure that we don't embitter our children. Okay, so mums and dads, and it is mums and dads. Yeah, dads, we've got a particular responsibility, but it's mums and dads. How are we going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? We've got to not embitter our children. Now, you do see in Ephesians, as Paul sort of does a similar list in Ephesians, Paul says, and we've got to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we've got to actually bring our children up knowing Jesus. Now, the danger here is, children, that you pay attention to what the adults have got to do, and parents, we pay attention to what the children have got to do. So we say, yeah, children, you've got to obey. And children say, yeah, you've got to not embitter us. Ha! But we've got to make sure that we pay attention to the command that is given to us, don't we? So children, pay attention to the command that is given to you. Obey your parents. Parents, pay attention to the command that is given to you. Don't embitter your children. Okay? So don't pick at every little thing. But bring them up to love Jesus. Okay, families. There you go. Let's give it a go. Let's go for the verse again. Yeah, here we go. Guns in holsters. You ready? No, stay sitting down. Okay, so ready? Whatever you do, whether in word, or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Two more areas to go. Oh, well, don't keep going. Okay, great, thank you. Work and school is the next area that Paul touches on. He talks about slaves and masters. Now, okay, you may feel like you're a slave when you go to work or when you go to school. It's kind of a similar idea. You probably, if you think of slavery, you're not really thinking of what they had when Paul wrote this. It's probably a bit more like employment. So when he talks about slaves, you can kind of relate it to work today and masters as employers. So what have you got to do? And similarly at school, kind of. You can do that there. So what does he say you've got to do? Verse 22, what have slaves got to do? Have a look. Chapter 3, verse 22, what have they got to do? Obey your earthly masters. And when are they to do it? Second half of the verse. Then, not only when their eye is on you. So in other words, when you're at work, when you're at school, you do what you're told to do. And not just when your teacher is looking at you. What does the teacher do when there's a child who's misbehaving, doing things not quite right? They make sure that child is really close to them in the classroom so that they can keep an eye on them. Not just when your teacher is looking at you, but all the time, do what you're told at school. That's part of living out what it means to be a Christian. And at work. Obey your employer. Do what they want you to do. And not just when they're looking at you. And I think there's a thing here about being loyal to your employer just in conversation. There can be quite a popular thing just to do down your boss and say, oh, they're rubbish at this, they're rubbish at that. And in conversation with others, you just do them down a bit. Let's not be like that. Paul says, no, we're to be obedient and we're to serve them no matter what. And, verse 23, Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So at school, you're doing your maths. You're learning to read. You're learning to write. You're doing essays. You're doing whatever it may be. At work, you're doing whatever you do, whether it's IT or whether you're putting a thing in a WhatsApp and that's your job, or whether it's whatever it may be. Do it for the Lord. You may think, oh, I've got to go to work, back to work after the new year, after the holiday, oh, I've got to go back. But this changes the way you do it, doesn't it? This says, go to work with the attitude of, I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm doing this for God. Not just for my earthly employer, I'm doing it for God. I'm going to school, I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for Jesus. And if you're an employer, look after your employees. You get that verse, chapter 4, verse 1. If you're an employer, look after your employees. So, work, school as well. Let's pray about that. Bow our heads and let's pray. Father, please would you help us to live for you, to do whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, both at school and at work as well. Amen. Okay, last area. You may have felt, there we go, Colossians 3:17. You may have felt, well, for some here, you may think, well, not many of these areas have applied to me. Actually, the first one applies to you, church, and the last one definitely applies to all of us. Pray. Do you see that verse, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. It doesn't say just pray. It doesn't say just pray a little bit. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. So, again, new year, new year's resolution. What are you going to do about it? How about coming along on Wednesday to pray so that we pray together? That's important. But pray on your own as well. Mums and dads, how about praying with your children? Maybe at meal times, maybe at bedtime, maybe first thing in the morning, whenever works. But could you make it a New Year's resolution to say, we're going to pray and we're going to do it day by day. We're not going to let a day go by where we don't pray together in some way. Okay, whatever that may be, we're going to pray. On your own, together, let's be devoted to prayer. And so therefore, let's pray about our praying. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can pray to you, that we can talk to you. And so, Father, please would you help us to be devoted to prayer. Amen. So there you go, those five areas of life. You say, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's all of those areas. Are there things that you need to change at the beginning of the year? Attitudes you need to change, relationships you need to change, things you need to do differently so that you're doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've got one final thing that we're going to think about. We're going to think about it in a few moments. Jim. Okay, last bit of the verse. And for this, I need you to go back to your parents. Okay, so you guys, not all of you, you don't all have to, but children here at the front, if you could go back to your parents. Because we got something that we need to do. Oh, you're just shifting to the front row. Okay, take your Bible with you. Now, the last bit. Well done. You can sort it out in a moment. That's it. The last bit of the verse talks about giving thanks. And actually, throughout the verses in Colossians, there are lots of times where Paul says, you need to have gratitude, you need to give thanks. And this is a really important part of our relationship with God, that we're giving God thanks for lots of things. And therefore, we want to give thanks to God. Now, I've got some wonderful helpers. David and Pat and Ken, they're going to come round with pens and post-it notes. And what we want to do is write down loads of things. This is why you're back with your families. Write down as many things as you can for which you want to give thanks to God. And then come and stick them on this board, which is going to be up the front. So, this side of it. All right, so, have a chat about it. What things do you want to thank God for? And this is where maybe you need mums and dads to prompt you, help you to think of things. Write them down and put them on the board. Go. Well, there is a lot that we can give thanks for, and I'm sure, actually, if we had longer, we could put a whole load more things. Pat, is that another one? And we need to make sure that giving thanks to God is a regular part of what we do, because there is always something for which we can give thanks to God. So let's bow our heads now and we'll pray. Now, just in a moment of quiet, just thank God in your own heart for maybe some of the things that you put up on the board or other things that you've thought of. So let's just have a moment of quiet. Bow our heads and let's just talk to God in our hearts. And our Father, we want to thank you so much for you, that you are our God, that you are a great God, that you love us. Thank you for bringing us together as a church family. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your work among us. And we pray, please, that you would help us as we go through this year, that we would be people who are thankful to you. Amen.